This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Running the three-man show today, I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sauville and Eric Bickle.
Yep.
You know, it's a tried-and-true tradition on this show. We go through the schedule when the NFL releases the schedule and predict the Washington football team's record. Well, our next guest did the same type of thing for the Philadelphia Eagles. Covers the Eagles for WIP Radio. He's also an Odyssey Sports NFL insider. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series. Available on odyssey.com/D. It's Elliot Shores Parks. What's up, Elliot?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Elliot, I'm guessing, do your boys call you ESP? Because it flows yeah. Perfectly.
It does. When you have two, hyphenated last name, it sets up well. So you can definitely call me ESP.
So you are super high on your Eagles, kind of like Cakes was with the Washington football team. You see at least 10 wins, and all we've been doing here – and Cakes has been the leader in the clubhouse on the show, is clubbing your head coach.
Well, again, it goes back to his opening press conference, which was, Elliot would admit this, not impressive when he got in front of the mic the first time. But maybe, you know what, that's a minor part of the job, dealing with the media. I hope he's a much better football coach than he is a public speaker. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, look, I think his introductory press conference was not great. He's gotten better. What I would say about Nick Sirianni, though, is I think he does, when you just look at his resume, I think he does come with a good resume. Learning under Frank Reich, coaching receivers, coaching quarterbacks. He hasn't called plays, which is certainly a concern. The good news, though, is he's in a division where you don't really have to be a great head coach. You really only have Ron Rivera as a great head coach. So we'll see how it turns out. But I agree, the press conference certainly didn't set the right tone for the Nick Sirianni era.
So hold on. So we always do the bit here, and everyone makes fun of us of going through wins and losses. We'll do it like before the draft, after the draft, before free agency, after free agency. Of course, we'll do it before the regular season. And we're all over the place here. We're anywhere from like 6 wins to 10 or 11 for Washington.
Yep.
You're on the record for 10? Is that what you're saying?
10
Philly?
Plus is what he tweeted.
10 plus?
For the Eagles?
Yeah.
For the Eagles?
Yeah.
I have met 11. Yeah, 11 and 6. Yeah.
Wow. All right, so let's go through it a little bit. And
you must be super high on Jalen Hurts.
You know, honestly, it's not so much being high on Jalen Hurts. I think it's a combination of things. One, Carson Wentz was the worst quarterback in the NFL last year, arguably. So the fact that when you get that level of quarterback play, like that poor, the whole roster is going to look worse than it actually is. I mean, Carson, I think, averaged almost close to 2 turnovers a game when he was in there. It's just impossible to win that way. So I think even if Jalen Hurts can step in next year and be a top 20 quarterback, the Eagles will be considerably better. I also look at the Eagles roster, and I think they have potentially a very good offensive line. They have a very good defensive line. And again, I think they'll get better quarterback play. So if you have those three things, you're going to be a pretty good team in the NFL.
What happened with Carson? I mean, I know there's a million guesses, but what is your best guess on what happened with him? Is it simply a confidence thing?
So I've covered Carson since he got to Philadelphia, right? So I've seen the whole Carson saga in Philly. And to me, what it really comes down to is Carson suffered two really bad injuries. He tore his ACL, and then he suffered a fractured back. And almost any player is going to have a hard time recovering from that. Carson in 2017, prior to the ACL injury, he was one of the best quarterbacks I've ever covered or seen, right? I mean, he was playing at that level, I thought, certainly in an Eagles uniform. So, you know, but when you tear ACL and you break your back, things go downhill, and that's what you've seen with Carson. I know people want to point to the Jalen Hurts thing, and if they don't draft Jalen Hurts, he's probably still here. But ultimately, I don't think that Carson had a mental breakdown or anything. I just don't think Carson's that good anymore because of the physical, you know, things he's had to deal with. So I think that's really why Carson's time with the Eagles is over.
We're joined by Elliot Shore Parks, at Elliot Shore Parks on Twitter, Eagles reporter for 94 WIP. In Philadelphia. Now, Hurts, you know, didn't have a lot of experience, but the four appearances he made were encouraging. Two 400-plus yard total appearance, total yards between passing and rushing. So Sirianni has to love the upside. It's just a matter of getting that completion percentage up, which is at 52%, and upping the passing. The rushing part is there, but the passing still needs some work, obviously.
Yeah, so I think the completion percentage is a bit misleading. Obviously, it needs to be better than 52%. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I do think last year, you know, the Eagles, the receivers were not great. They've added Devontae Smith. I think that will help. But the other thing is, Jalen Hurts, and I don't want to make excuses for him, but ultimately last year he didn't have an off season, a preseason, or really any reps up until he was thrown into the game, right? So I think he was in a little bit of a unique situation compared to other rookie quarterbacks. So I know this is his second year, but in some ways it's a little bit more like his rookie year. I mean, the Eagles are having rookie minicamp today. I don't know if he'll be out there or not, but I think just getting the reps this offseason is going to be big for him after he didn't get any first-team reps last offseason.
So I'm looking at your breakdown here week by week, and it looks like you have them really doing very well in their out-of-conference stuff,
yeah.
Right? That's where I see them. Now Washington has a very similar schedule, but I see you guys don't have Kansas City. You guys don't have Buffalo like we do.
Well, the Eagles do play Kansas City.
They
at
do?
Home.
They do?
Yeah.
Right. And you have that as what? Loss, I assume?
Yeah, I think that's a loss. Yeah. I think that's safe to assume.
Yeah, but you have San Francisco. Go through the out of conference. Like you have in week one, right, against the Falcons.
Yeah, well, the Falcons were worse than the Eagles were last year, and the Eagles were a complete train wreck. So, I think that's an advantageous start for them. The Eagles' new defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, was maybe the most sought-after defensive coordinator in the NFL this past offseason. Not as a head coach, but, I mean, strictly as a coordinator. So I think that's an underrated addition to the staff that, you know, is not getting the attention, especially because every time Sirianni talks, it's a national story. But I think Gannon is going to be a good addition for them. So I do think they can win week one.
Are you surprised that Zach Ertz is still on the roster at this point? I thought he would have been dealt by now, you know, with the emergence of Dallas Goedert. Ertz wants a new deal. He sees the money that guys like Kelce are getting, and he sees his reduced role there in Philly. Are you shocked that he's still on the roster? What do you think the ultimate landing spot is for Zach Ertz?
I'm very surprised he's still here. I mean, this is something a year in the making. Last year, as you mentioned, when you saw the big money paid out to tight ends, Zach Ertz wanted that money, and he was worthy of it at that point, right? He had been one of the most productive tight ends in the NFL over the last few years. But when he didn't get that money, and then he had a really down year, that complicates things because now he's still on the roster, but I don't think there's a team out there that's going to give him anywhere close to the type of money he wants, and the Eagles are not going to keep him. So at this point, I believe he'll either be released or, you know, maybe traded for a sixth or seventh round pick. But the fact that we're so close to June 1st, if they get rid of him after June 1st, the cap implications are are not as bad. So I think that's kind of what the holdup is.
All right, let's talk about the rest of the division. Let's start with Washington. What is sort of your take on them? I'm the only fan here of the group, so I can be accused of being biased. There's no question. But I love what they've done in the offseason. I think they've upgraded everywhere. I think it's been a fantastic offseason for Washington. I mean, obviously, the most important position is a bit of a question mark at quarterback, but I think they're actually getting the best Ryan Fitzpatrick, the best football that he's played in his career. So if that continues, I think they're in a really good spot. How do you evaluate Washington as an opponent within the division?
Yeah, I think Washington has maybe the best roster in the division. I know I talked about the Lions for the Eagles. Washington's right there. I mean, Washington probably has a better offensive line. They probably have a better defensive line. What's interesting is the Eagles actually had more sacks last year, which I was surprised about. But regardless, I think Washington has a better defensive line. But you mentioned it. It's Fitzpatrick for me. I just, when you have a guy that's played in the NFL this long, I think he's been a starter in 10-plus games 8 times in his career, and he's only had a winning record once. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, anything's possible. He's going to go there with a better roster than he's probably ever played for. But at the same time, I think he, you know, everyone always says the teams that he's played for aren't any good. Well, he holds blame in that. He's a quarterback, right? So, I mean, if he was really good, the team probably would have been better. So I think Washington is really set up to win, but the Fitzpatrick thing is just such a massive question mark. I have a hard time viewing them as, you know, the clear-cut favorite to win the division.
So, if you had to bet on how many starts he has this year for Washington, what would you bet?
It's a great question. I mean, I guess with 17 games, I'd probably set the over-under at something like 10.5, 11.5. You know, I don't think he'll get benched. I would be surprised by that. But just, you never know with injuries. So, yeah, I would put it somewhere around there.
All right, what about Dallas? Everybody every year, I feel like they always, it's a sexy pick, and it's annoying to me. Now, Jason pointed out, he's not here today, but he pointed out that, you know, they did win 13 games, I don't know, a few years ago, and they've had some big seasons. But I always feel like they disappoint more often than not. I guess a lot of it obviously going to depend on the health of Dak.
Yeah, interesting fact about Dallas. Over the last 10 years, they've had an over-under of 9.5, which is what they opened at this year, 3 times, and they failed to reach that every time. So I agree with you that Dallas consistently underperforms when they're expected to be good. Now, Dallas, to me, obviously, you know, it comes down to Dak. Having been here in Philadelphia and seeing what a season-ending injury can do to somebody, I am skeptical somewhat that Dak will come back and be the best quarterback he was, you know, the best version of himself that he was before. If he is, he's the best quarterback in the division, and that's a huge advantage for Dallas. They have a ton of weapons. I think getting Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator is really going to help them. But I have to see Dak return to Dak before I'm going to be as optimistic about Dallas as other people.
All right, and then what about the Giants?
He clubs the Giants.
Yeah, I want to hear your take on the Giants. Good. That means you're out on Daniel Jones then?
Yeah. I mean, look, when you're worse your second year than you are your first year, I think that's a pretty bad sign. And you know, he fumbles it all the time. I just don't think he's shown enough for me to believe that he's a quarterback that can lead a team. And I think what's interesting about the Giants is, you know, they're 6-10 last year, and now they're being discussed as a team that's on the up and, you know, that's coming up, that should be viewed as a contender for the division. I just don't see it. They have the worst offensive line in the division. I think they probably have the worst defensive line. I think they have the worst head coach, and I think they have the worst quarterback. So when you have those four things, I just don't view you as a super competitive team. They were 1-7 last year before they turned it around with a few bad wins at the end of the year. So look, anything's possible in the NFC East. I just don't do the Giants. I don't view the Giants as a real contender.
Well, I think the people are higher on the Giants because they get Saquon Barkley back, and they boosted their wide receiving core.
Yeah, well, Saquon's coming off a torn ACL, right, which for a running back I think is concerning. And you can have all the receivers in the world. If your quarterback's not good and he doesn't have time to throw the ball, really doesn't matter. I mean, their offensive line was arguably not just the worst in the division, the worst in the entire NFL last year when it came to pass protection. And that's why probably, you know, part of the reason Daniel Jones struggled. But when you have a bad line and a bad quarterback, I like Kenny Golladay. I think he's extremely underrated. I'm not sure it's going to matter.
You know, I don't know. Do you stand? Saquon is obviously a freak talent, but you're right. He's coming off the injury for one. And for two, this is the argument I make with the guys, and they break my balls about it. He's very all or nothing. Like, he could have 180 against you, or it could be one of those games where he has like 32. I don't know if you feel that same way.
Yeah, I think that's somewhat of a fair criticism. I'd also say that, look, Saquon's great. It's not like they were anywhere near to being a good team when he was on the field, right? So with the bad offensive line, again, it just makes it so hard for these skill position players that they have to be good. And that's why when I look at Washington and Philly, I see two teams that I think will be two of the, you know, the best in the division because they are so strong along the lines. I understand that the receiver position, the running back, like those are the fun positions to talk about. But ultimately, what decides the division is who has the best line. That's why Washington won it last year. They had the best defensive line. They had the best offensive line. Outside of that, you know, everything else was pretty even. So I just think when I look at the Giants, yeah, Saquon's exciting, but the line is terrible. And that's going to really diminish a lot of their offensive production.
Elliot, appreciate the insight. It's Elliot Shores Parks from Odyssey Sports. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, buddy.
He joined us on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and
you
beat
hear
the
that,
books.
Buddies?
Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
Hit best roster in the division right there.
Everyone seems to be copycatting my stance early in the year.
They're jumping on board.
Hey, a listener hit me up on Twitter, and he did remind me, and I forgot this because I know that I brought this up when they acquired him. He did remind me that Fitz was the fifth-ranked quarterback in QBR last season, by the way.
That's a feather in the old cap.
And that's not just like quarterback rating, like the old-school one. That's like this fancy one that everyone's all high on, right? Fifth in QBR. You know who he was ahead of? Your boy Lamar.
That's
he was
fine.
Right there with some elite company.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Unanimous MVP.
I'm not saying he's MVP.
And now he's coming to a situation where he's unquestioned starter, putting it too boldly for Fitz.
Yeah. Here's the company.
I think that's what he is, basically.
I think he is. Here's the company, the top five QBR last year. I mean, all right, you mock me, but whatever. If you had to think of one stat that's the most encompassing stat.
I don't disagree with that stat. I just know this, that you're like making this argument for Fitzpatrick over Lamar when, unless you're a lunatic, you would make a trade of Fitzpatrick for Lamar in
a
heartbeat.
Well, maybe based on age. I don't know. If they were both 37, I don't know, or whatever. But Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Tannehill, which is bizarre to me. I don't understand that kind of career arc. I don't get it, but you know, maybe it's
he's been resurrected in Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's what Fitzpatrick is doing. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
How many starts did each of the four guys ahead of him get though?
No, they had more.
16 out of 16.
Well, they had more. I mean, maybe he had 8 or 9 or I can't remember what it was.
If they force-fed Tua onto the field, Fitzpatrick would have had more starts.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Anyway, you can vote. It looks like most people on the Junks Radio poll brought to you by Vandermeer Homes. I put four options. So how many starts do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick gets? 17 out of 17. Then there's a range. 10 to 17, 5 to 9, or 4 or less.
Oh, 10 to 17 is a guarantee.
65% have the 10 to 17.
Yeah, yeah. Then you made that
range
too big.
I think I might lean on 5 to 9.
You think benching because poor play?
I think I can buy into Drab's theory that he's going to be benched at some point because the team's struggling, he's struggling, throws a bunch of picks, and they just go to the next guy. Ron Rivera clearly showed last year he'll just go to the next guy.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe you're right. For some reason, I feel like we're getting a guy playing the best football of his career at the end, and then we're going to see
he's peaking late in life.
Have we figured out what you're going to do if he's benched?
I'm not promising anything. You're trying to paint me in a corner.
There's always a wacky bit in store.
You want to see my pubes or something.
Still got months to figure it out, Valdez.
Yeah.
Got nothing but time.
I just think he's going to play pretty well.
All right. Coming up next, we switch gears. We open up EB's entertainment page. He's going to fill us in on who's guest starring in the Friends reunion next here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington as well. Time now to open up the entertainment page brought to you by Wave Soda. Wave Soda is awesome, super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter the code JUNKIES. You'll get 15% off at wavesoda.com.
You know, I just got a message from my daughter, my oldest daughter, and she sends me the link to the Caps playoff games and the question, can we get tickets?
Oh.
And I know she just wants to go with her boyfriend and, like, you know, put pictures on Snapchat or whatever.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
So, I mean, what's the story with these games? Are they doing, like, partial? Like, what is the story?
I'm not sure the capacity for the first playoff games. I know it's not full capacity. I want to say at least 2,500 or so.
Does that
I
mean,
can double check that.
I wonder, does that mean, maybe she said, does that mean that there'll be a few suites open?
I don't know.
Are you going?
I'm in the process of inquiring.
Oh, you're procuring.
I've thrown something out
there.
You guys are shameless.
He mentioned that, though. He mentioned that a couple weeks ago, I think.
I did, yes. Yeah. I started it's
been in the works. EB, you kind of slid that in. Is that an announcement that your daughter has a boyfriend?
It's not an announcement, no. She's had a boyfriend for a while, but it's just that...
Have you given him the hairy eyeball?
He's a nice kid. He's a sailor.
What do you mean, sailor? What does that mean? Like,
he sails.
In the Navy?
Oh, yeah. He's rich. No, he's a rich kid. He's a sailor. I mean,
he sails. He's going to sailor college and all that.
Aren't sailors like notorious for like getting the clap?
Yeah. I don't know. But he's not like in the service.
Oh, he's already in college? Older boy?
No, he's going next year.
How big is his boat?
I think they have a lot of boats. I don't know. He's like a nice kid. He seems like a nice kid to me. But no, the question is, and it's just funny because
better when he sees him at full mast.
Yeah. I wonder if he's watched. Has he watched Captain Stabbing?
Yeah,
he better hope not.
I doubt it.
Way before his time.
I doubt it.
And I believe. I mean, I don't recall a full Captain Stabbing, but I'm guessing he wasn't a fancy sailor. I'm guessing he's more like a powerboater type.
Oh, yeah.
What was his movie?
Yeah, he would tag a chick and then throw her off the boat and then throw a life preserver and then sail away.
Come sail away.
That's a sailing by Styx.
No, it's just funny. My daughter, as soon as the team started allowing fans, she started hitting me up for tickets. And I said, honey.
Does she really want to go to the game or does she want to clout chase?
I think it's more, like.
Status. I was able to go to the game.
Kind of.
No, she's a huge Nick Dowd fan.
I like the showboat.
No,
she likes the Caps.
She likes the Caps. She likes the Nats. But I know she just wants to be at the games.
Little showboat.
But I said, when they first started allowing fans, I'm not going to just immediately hit up the contacts.
I did that.
Yeah, Cakes already did.
I'm not going to do that. But
on the low.
Hold on. The Caps have been, they've been having fans for a while or no? Just a few
games. You know what? Hey. You know what? Yeah. That ring that you have should be an automatic ticket.
Oh, I like that. Just walk up. Say, oh, you want to see my
show
ticket?
The fist.
There's my ticket.
You go anywhere you want.
Yeah. I'm a Stanley Cup champion.
There's your ticket.
I could probably get her Nats tickets quicker than the playoff Caps tickets. Might be tougher.
Although a quarter.
I mean, what do they have? 10% of fans?
Tell that ticket taker to go shove it.
Actually, bow down to
your ring.
Right. Say, scan this. Can you scan this ring with your scanner?
That's got to be so weird for Caps fans to go to a game and there'd be like 2,000 fans there. That's got to be the most surreal thing ever, right?
Doesn't sound like
that's not a Caps game. No, a Caps game is 20,000 and they're rocking the red. That's got to be bizarre.
Cakes is such a phony. He didn't say the name Jim Van Stone for 14 months. Yeah. And then the day he comes back. The crowd could come back. He started dropping his name again all over the place.
I think Jim Van Stone deleted his contact.
Yeah.
He may have.
Yeah, because he realized they were true friends.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a user and abuser.
Yeah.
But I only use and abuse in very limited circumstances.
Yeah, when everybody wants the tickets.
Right. Pretty much dead on.
Exactly. By the way, I also see a graphic here. This is a little bit jarring. So, because I have been sleeping on the gas outages, right? Because I don't need gas.
Yep.
DC 86% out. Virginia 53% out.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Maryland creeping up. 42% of Maryland gas stations reporting outages.
Leave my wife.
You shouldn't have given your secret, Valdez. And
I told you. I told you guys.
Maryland up to 42%. 2 days ago, Maryland was at 3.5% out. In 2 days, it's gone up to 42%, if this is accurate.
Are these current percentages?
This is according to Fox 5, 12 minutes ago. Mm.
I told you guys.
I've been sleeping on this, and then I saw they paid the ransom, but then I saw that the passcode didn't work.
I can tell you what also ran out of gas. My Lindsay spot about 45 minutes ago on the air. I nearly had a panic attack on the air.
Right.
Because why?
Here's why. Because I had my spot lined up ready to go in my notes.
Yeah.
And then literally 10 seconds before I was doing my live read, my stupid finger hit delete.
Oh, you deleted
and then
it?
I had nothing. I had a whole lot of nothing. And right. I literally started nearly hyperventilating 15 seconds.
You don't like you to improvise on
no, see, I can improvise with the best of them, not non-spot division, like when we're doing the show. But right. with spots, I like to have my scripts just in case I need to lean on them, which I lean on them a lot.
So no offense, I didn't listen. So what did you do? Just spitball? I mean, you've been to Lindsay a bunch of times. You know they've got great vehicles. You're driving around the car.
Get the pressure's too great.
But I choked because they're Memorial Day specials that I didn't have. I have to read them. I didn't have them burned into my brain.
It was so weird.
Here. Are you going to play it?
Yeah. Lindsay Chevrolet in Woodbridge. You know, now is the perfect time to be driving my brand new Chevy Bolt because, hello, it needs no gasoline whatsoever. Oh. I just point and laugh when I drive by all of the gas stations lined up with people waiting to get gas. I don't put any gas into my vehicle right now. Chevy Bolt 2020.
And this is where he goes,
you just cut it off.
Jersey Mike. Why did you just say, just get your... Your mind melted
down.
No,
my mind was racing.
Yeah.
I was literally... I felt like I was 120 degrees wearing this hoodie. It's so hot. And I was just in the spotlight, and I fizzled.
I think most listeners, that part sounded
unrelatable.
Fine. Yeah. You're not going to notice, but I could tell you're just padding. You're like,
I'll just talk about my car.
I was a broken record. And I thought it was the better move just to tell Valdez to abort the mission than to keep going. Because I might have passed out and died.
But can't you just don't you know who your guys are there?
No,
you usually
I do,
throw
but,
that in.
But again, to pull back the curtain,
yeah,
I'm still relatively new with Lindsay. I had been with been with a previous dealership for a decade.
You're afraid you're gonna mention Ralph.
No, yeah. I could do that bit in my sleep.
Yeah.
This one, I'm not quite there yet. And I panicked. I had a full on panic disorder mode.
I'll give you credit, though. You did say in about five different ways how you don't have to get gas because you have an electric vehicle.
Have I mentioned that I point and laugh at people at gas stations right now? Lindsay Chevrolet in Woodbridge. You know, now is the perfect time to be driving my brand new Chevy Bolt because, hello, it needs no gasoline whatsoever. I just point and laugh when I drive by all of the gas stations lined up with people waiting to get gas.
I hate myself.
I don't put any gas into my vehicle right now.
Gas talk. Gas.
I hate myself right now.
Well, no,
Lindsay, I owe you a spot.
Valdez, now they're getting all this bonus content, cakes.
They are.
Yeah, they're making up for it. But Valdez doesn't understand. Sometimes he'll go, okay, he'll say, Lindsay. Or, okay, FanDuel right now.
Now, to his defense, he did say 30 seconds.
I know, but sometimes he does it.
And then when he did, I hit my keyboard to try to make sure I had the spot up, and then I deleted it.
In my defense, you all have a whole spot schedule sent to you at 5 a.m.
No, you're right. Agreed. Listen, it's right. But also, what's the most important thing? Doing the show. Now, you need the commercials, or you got no show. So there are of somewhat equal importance.
I don't know how Cakes' awful commercial has now come down to my fault.
No, it's not your fault. Okay. It's just that you don't understand. So I'm just going to explain it from our perspective. So we're doing a show. We're trying to kill the segment. I mean, and then do it in a great way. Mm-hmm. And you're all in. And then all of a sudden, if Valdez doesn't give you a prompt, and it's, you know, it just helps us. If he doesn't give you a prompt, we'll go to break. He'll go, okay, fan, to wait seconds. Can I just explain?
Yeah, go ahead.
And then I have 19 windows open, and I can't find the magic spoon read.
Well, your magic spoon read is a hard copy
that is laid out in front of you.
That is laid out in front of you, and the time of that copy is also written down in front of your face.
No, but now the answer is...
He's got, like, nursery school instructions.
No, the difference is I've written my own spot. So these are just copy points. So this doesn't really help me. So I've written my own spot. So I have to find the window. And it's not your fault. But then I do what Cakes does sometimes. Yeah. I choke. I can't find the window right. in the 3 seconds.
Been there, done that.
And I just start panicking.
And I defend Valdez because he did give me the 30-second heads up. But I also defend myself because I was ready. My stupid finger just deleted the spot.
Yeah, 10 don't blame me. Blame your fat finger.
I blame my fat Vienna sausage-like fingers. Yeah.
Is that the fickle finger of fate?
The fickle finger of fate whored me today.
That's just an old callback.
It is an old callback, yeah.
Is that from a spot? I don't even know where I'm pulling it is, that from.
Ironically, yes, I think it is from a spot.
All right, so why don't we do this? When we come back, we'll actually get into the EP.
Hold on, let me make sure I don't have a spot coming
up. I think I did all mine.
Let me look. I think I'm good.
Yep, you're done,
Cakes. I think I'm good.
You finished at 9:14.
Yeah. But when we come back, we'll get into all the guest stars on the – it's kind of shocking to me that people are so into this Friends reunion. We talked about it. And then there's a hooking story that Drabby is dying for me to talk about.
I think it might be happening here at Odyssey at some point. You never know.
I hope not. We'll get into that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. All right, EB, who the hell is in this stupid Friends reunion? Because we've teased it now two segments.
Well, it's not that great.
it can't be
but
that great.
But allegedly, the Friends reunion, which my understanding is these donks are just kind of like sitting around couches. I don't know if they're just kind of catching up on where they are.
Like they're not doing a show.
Like at the coffee shop.
Yeah, exactly. they're saying the Biebs, Lady Gaga, and who is BTS?
Isn't that the Korean pop
band?
Yes,
the Korean pop band.
Yeah. Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Entertainment guru.
BTS. I'm not a Korean guru.
They had a smash hit over here.
Yeah, and I'm
Can you play a little BTS for their biggest hit ever, Valdez? I think
BTH,
you're going to recognize it.
Dynamite. BTH greater than BTS.
Oh, I don't know about that. Considering some of the recent appearances.
So BTS, Biebs, and Gaga, and more will be featured on the upcoming Friends reunion special with the original cast.
Paparazzi.
HBO Max announced yesterday. May 13th. By the way, my wife said we have chicken in the fridge. Sell date, May 10th. Can we still eat that chicken? It's been in the fridge the whole time. Not the freezer, the fridge.
It seems a little dicey to me.
I don't know. I think we can do it. I mean, I said just smell it. All right, this is BTS. This was their biggest hit.
Yeah.
It's a lock you've heard this.
No, I heard a million pop songs, but I haven't heard this one.
You've never heard this song. Not once. Don't you listen to, like, the pop stations all the time?
Remember, Eric's a country guy now.
I might be listening to more country. Hold on. No, like, I know all the pop artists, but I don't know this one.
I mean, I don't even like pop, but that's catchy.
Yeah, maybe because he didn't get to the hook. I'll be honest, that's the first time I've ever heard it. How long has it been a hit? Like for 6 months or just like a few weeks?
Well, this last fall?
Yeah.
It was in a zillion commercials.
Right.
It seems like something I've seen in a commercial.
32 million views for this one particular version of it.
Yeah, it seems like something that I've seen maybe in a commercial. That I'll buy, but I haven't heard it on
It's no radio. Old Dominion, right, Eric?
One man band. Yeah. Yeah, it's an unbelievable song. All right. So Drabby wants to talk about this boss, and I'm like, both. And I'm like, Drabby, this story is absurd. So there's a boss that is, during the pandemic, this boss found that her employees were getting frustrated and that they were getting agitated and they're performing with less energy during the pandemic.
Okay.
So what she did is she built into her day a 30-minute break for all of her employees to hook themselves.
Genius.
Now,
what type of profession?
That's innovative.
That's the problem.
What's the profession?
Her profession is it's an adult entertainment company. Oh. So they sell like sex toys.
Wow.
But you're not going to like AT&T and getting a hook it break.
No. I mean, you're certainly not.
You're not going to go to Subway and, you know, well, between making sandwiches.
That's very unsanitary. You can't do it there in a food prep.
She even had, I guess, like a room for it.
It's like our lactation room here.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like somebody told me during one of the breaks, there's a lot of room here. There's plenty of space.
Now, here's the rationale. A clinical sexologist says that hooking it has been shown to not only make you happier, obviously, more relaxed, obviously. It makes you more focused.
This is Matt Valdez.
But it's also good, Valdez.
This is Matt Valdez.
Maybe this is why Valdez is so... It's good for your creativity.
Ah,
doesn't it make you tired?
Maybe that's where the zings
better
come
zings,
from.
Valdez.
Yeah, doesn't it make you tired? You want to know what I'm doing at 4 in the morning here?
Right.
Aren't you going to want to take a nap after?
I usually
do. At least
do.
The dudes.
Yeah. And then it increases your drive to get things done.
Mm. Really? That is weird to hear.
Plus, they say, obviously, it releases endorphins.
Yeah.
And it helps to decompress. Relieve tension and stress. It's like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, he's telling me.
Yeah.
By the way, if people are watching on TV, once EB used the word decompress, Cake scrambled my sound machine.
I know. Pavlovian's dog.
I'm rusty with the replay.
Let's hear it clean.
You got to give me some time here, folks.
Eric, in the history of your life,
I have to decompress at times.
Have you ever done that at work?
No.
Do you know a drab in minute?
Oh, that's true because I did it once for a segment.
Yeah. Yes, we did do it for a segment.
I did it for a segment. I did a sperm test.
You know a drab in minute?
I participated too. Now we were in separate areas.
Yeah,
but this happened for full disclosure.
I will admit, when everyone knows you're going into the office to knock one out for a test, and then you come, you do feel kind of sheepish.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
I would imagine.
Yeah, huh? You just feel kind of. It's
so
weird.
Guilty.
It doesn't mean that the job wasn't completed.
Yeah. I do remember it being a little bit more difficult.
What about Cakes working at the cotton candy stand? Getting all worked up?
It's a good, no, too busy. Too busy. Ripping off my boss and selling cotton candy and sweating profusely to ever entertain that.
When my wife, this is probably more than I should say, but when my wife and I, we had three kids. They were never like one and doneers. Mm-hmm. Like it was a grind.
Right.
Okay. And then for our third, there's a reason why my third is so far from my second, right? It was a grind. And I once went to one of those clinics, I think I've told the story before, to see if, make sure all my parts were working.
Right.
And it was so hurting because they put you in an office and you got to knock one out, you know, so they can evaluate everything.
Sure.
And I brought my backpack, and I was prepared.
The JanSport.
I brought my backpack.
Fully packed or just with a few selections?
No, I didn't bring...
Some of his faves.
No, I didn't bring tapes.
He was more prepared than Walt.
I brought my laptop, but then I had to bring headphones. And then I'll never forget, it was such a sterile work environment. It was like hard floors, and there was about a 2-inch gap under the door, and I felt like I had to put like my jacket to cover the sound. I didn't want any sound or anything to reverberate. You know what I mean? It's hurting because I could hear people milling around.
Sure,
and like in paper thin walls.
Did you have to walk outside with a cup?
And then you have to walk outside with your hurting specimen. But I was behind the papers and walls with headphones on and my laptop knocking one out.
I hope you gave them a good presentation.
I came out silly.
Okay, that's good.
Silly normal. Normal. But it's that's the most uncomfortable. Those two times.
Yeah.
They're the worst ever.
EB, you were mentioning country singers before. We actually have tickets to go see Dierks Bentley. With Riley Green on Saturday, October 9th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets go on sale starting this Friday, May 14th, 10 a.m. For more info, visit Ticketmaster. We'll take the 10th caller at
636-1067. You can get the tickets to the country concert.
I believe that is the Beers on Me tour for Dierks Bentley.
I'm sure Jiffy Lube loves being lumped into this conversation.
Separated
well,
it out.
I mean, you know, they're not listening to the whole lead up, are
Drav
they?
Drav got so turned on by a receptionist once. That
it is
he,
Jiffy Lube live.
That is true.
That he yeah. sprinted to a Wendy's bathroom.
No, you didn't.
Well, I was 18.
It's a different era.
A different era. I was just a young, viral.
Viral?
Viral. Viral. Yeah, you dummy.
Teenager.
You're probably viral, too.
Probably was. Yeah.
You probably had both
so
things.
So you ran to a Wendy's?
I didn't run. It was my lunch
G.
break.
G. Gordon Liddy would be very disappointed. You called it viral instead of viral.
Right. Yeah. Valdez, you never knocked one out. Even at 4 a.m. before the guys showed
up? No.
Right. We had a board up that we're pretty sure it was.
I mean, I almost did on 95 heading to the Borgata about a dozen years ago.
That was a great station.
It was very titillating.
Yeah. Whatever happened.
What was
that?
I don't know.
Playboy Radio? Is that what it was called?
I think
and then
that
they
might
changed
been
the
it.
Name
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, they're like Vivid.
Yeah.
Well, when they, was being I know described, it was very vivid.
But it was the Night Call show, right? Was that what the show
I don't
that
think
did it
that was
you?
It. I can't remember the name of it. But, yeah. Man, it was very titillating.
Did you think as soon as you got into the room?
No, I probably was
by
still,
then.
I was probably still on the poker hustle where I sprinted down to the 1-2 game at the Borgata instead. Instead of taking care of what should have been taken care
skip
of.
Skip meals.
It was Spice Channel, wasn't it?
Yeah, Spice, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Playboy Channel.
It was extra spicy, too.
All right, boys, we got to get out of here for the boys behind the glass. Cakes, EB, I'm JP. Have a great weekend. Be Mitch and Finley next on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.